Good morning. Today's daf and Menachos is daf Hey. We are in Dalam and Beis, and we are at the two dots. It's about a quarter of the way down on the Gemara. First word in line is Man, and now we're starting with the words Amar Mar, and a continuation from yesterday's daf. Daf Beis of Menachos is an introduction to the idea of Shalol Lishma as it relates to a Karban Mincha. When offering a Karban Mincha, the Kohen, while doing one of the four avodas of Kemitza and onward, has a machshava shalol lishma, so he will either disconnect or disqualify the karban. Disconnect in the case of a minchas nedava, or disqualify the karban in the case of a minchas chote or a minchas sota. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, and that basically was daf beis on daf gimel. So beis amud beis and through gimel. So we spent all of our time discussing the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that by a karban mincha, unlike a regular karban, or I say regular, I mean an animal. Unlike a karban where a shinui of shinui kodesh or shinui bailim is certainly going to be is going to take effect on an animal and either disconnect or disqualify the animal. And I say disconnect as just as a reminder. I mean that the karban itself is still going to be good, but the owner will not receive credit for this karban. So unlike an animal which a shinui kodesh or shinui bailim will disconnect or disqualify, by mincha is not that way. Why? Because ma'aseh mochichin aleh, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that the actions that you do with a mincha are so specific because every mincha is actually defined by the way that it's prepared. Either it's on a griddle, or it's in a deep dish, or it's in an oven. So each mincha is uniquely prepared, and therefore the actions in which you do are going to speak much louder than any kind of machshava that you try to articulate while having it. And if you're having a machshava, which is a shinu, it's a deviation from that which you're doing, so the actions are going to speak louder than words. That's Rabbi Shimon, and we spent the last couple of days discussing the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Truth be told, as we already went through in the Gemara, there's a steerer within Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon on Beis Amud Beis brings in, there are two brises that represent his position. They're not exactly conforming with one another, and the Amoraim spent all of Daf Gimel, and even part of Daf Dalet, trying to create a unified approach in terms of how to understand the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Even though he's not an accepted position, it's not the Mishnah's position, but still, Torah, he is part and parcel of Torah. Then on Daf Dal, yesterday's Daf, so first of all, we established that by a Mincha V'chote and Mincha V'sota, Shinui Kodesh will be a postel, will disqualify. So how do we know that? So the Gemara went through a number of drushes yesterday on Dal Amud Aleph in terms of establishing how we know that. And then on the bottom of Dal Amud Aleph, so we introduce ourselves to the opinion of Rav as it relates to the Mincha of the Mincha HaOmer. So again, just as a quick preview, because a lot of our daf today is going to be revolving the Mincha HaOmer, so let's preview and review from what we did yesterday regarding the Mincha HaOmer. On the 16th day of Nisan, otherwise known as the second day of Pesach, so the Torah instructs us to bring a Karban Omer. The Karban Omer is a mincha. It's a mincha made up of flour. We're going to be discussing that in great detail over the course of this morning in terms of how this is a unique mincha in that, generally speaking, mincha comes from wheat, not from barley. And meanwhile, the Omer is coming from barley, but we'll talk more about that later this morning. And as I explained yesterday and as I described yesterday, over the course of the season, so in Eretz Yisrael, they're growing the grains over the winter. They're harvesting before Pesach. And even though now we have just harvested all the grains over the course of the year, over the course of the season, but we're not allowed to eat any of those grains. Those grains, in fact, are Usser. The Isser is called an Isser of Chadash. It's new grain. When are these grains become permissible? So it's not until the second day of Pesach, the 16th day of Nisan, in which the Karban Omer is offered. And the Karban Omer is a matir. It allows now all those grains to be consumed. So that means to say that with the bringing of the Karban Omer on the 16th day of Nisan, those grains now change in status from being chadash to that of yashan. And this is the idea behind the Minchas Omer, the specific Omer that is offered on the second day of Pesach. What if the Omer is offered shelo lishma? So, what would I have said before Rav stated his opinion on the bottom Dal Amud Aleph? What I would have said was, if it's a shelo lishma, so it will. Well, let's start the discussion like this. First of all, it's a unique mincha in that it's not a mincha offered by an individual, it's a mincha offered by the tzibur. It's a communal mincha offering. So we already talked about how there's no shinui bailim as it relates to a communal offering. We discussed that back in Zvachim. Shinui kodesh, meaning, in other words, what it's not... It, I would have said it's not going to disqualify the Minchas Omer, meaning what disqualifies when it comes to Shinui Kodesh? Only a Chatas, Karban Pesach we discussed in Zvachim, and in terms of Menachos, either a Minchas Chote or Minchas Sota. And that's it, meaning that's all the examples that were given in the Mishnah. And what Rav introduced us to is his opinion on the bottom of Dalam and Alf, which we saw yesterday, which is that when it comes to the Minchas Omer, which is Nikma Shelo Lishma, the Kohen did the Kemitza with the Minchas Omer, and he tried to have another carbon in mind, another Mincha in mind, another carbon in mind. So Rav is of the opinion it disqualifies the Omer. It disqualifies the Omer. It's a posel. Now, why? So he gives a reason why. And in the bottom of Dalam and Alf, he says, because the only purpose of bringing the Omer is that it's coming to be Matir, and because there's a Shinui, so therefore it's not Matir, and therefore it's disqualified. That's the opinion of Rav. So Rav says that we're going to add it to the list of the Mishnah. Now the obvious question, which we dealt with in the Gemara yesterday, is, well, if it's one of the Menachos where Shelo Lishma is going to post, so how come it didn't make it into the Mishnah? Meaning the Mishnah seems to be giving an exhaustive list of those things where, if the Kohen had Shinui Kodesh, had a Machshava of Shinui while doing the Avoda, so it's going to be possible, and the Mishnah only mentions two Menachos. Only the Mincha of Achote and the Mincha of Asota. Mincha Somer is not in the Mishnah. How come it's not in the Mishnah? Now that's a strong question. Although the Gemara gave three answers, and this is where we ended off with yesterday. The review now finishes up on Dalam and Beis. So one answer is that our Mishnah was only limited to a Mincha, which is a Minchas Yachid. The Omer is a Minchas Sibur. That's why it didn't make it into the Mishnah. Additionally, the Mishnah is only talking about Menachos that are brought independently, in of themselves. The Minchas Omer is brought in conjunction with a Karban as well on the 16th day of Nisan. And on top of that, our Mishnah is talking about Menachos that are not calendarically based. The Minchas Omer obviously is calendarically based. In other words, 16th day of Nisan. And that's why it's not in the Mishnah. In other words, thematically, it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. Although halachically, it belongs in the Mishnah. But it's still not recorded in the Mishnah. That is what we got to yesterday. That is all but a review of everything we saw, basically from the beginning of the Masechta. Amar, we are in Dalmud Beis. We are about a third of the way down, quarter of the way down. Last two words in the line, Amar. V'chena ta'omer ba'ashem nazir, v'ashem etzor sheshachno shol shman psum hom v'ala hachshev v'lo ichshiro. Now, the opinion of Rav is not just limited to the Omer. The opinion of Rav extends even to the Ashem of the Mitzor and the Ashem of the Nazir. Meaning these are mission-based karbanos. They're purpose-based karbanos. The purpose of them is to be machshir, is to allow now either the Mitzor or the Nazir to complete his Tahara process in order so that he can gain entrance into the Azara and be able to eat karbanos. And as a result of the fact that there was a Shinui, so therefore it's a postal disqualifies. To none. And now, what the commissioner is going to do the same thing we did just a moment ago. If Rav is right, it's a simple question. How come it didn't make it into the first Mishnah of Zvachim? The first Mishnah of Zvachim reads, Kol HaZvachim Sheshachnim Shalosh Shemam Ksherim, Elo Shalo Alu Labal Moshim Cho V'chutz MiPesav Chatas. And so the Mishnah gives us the long list, and when I say long, I mean two, the long list of Karbanos where a Shinui, a Machshavas HaShinui is going to be a Posel, and that is one Chatas and two Karban Pesach. And if Rav is right, so why did the Mishnah stop? The Mishnah should have continued. The Mishnah should have said, and Hashem as well. How come the Mishnah didn't list Hashem? So how come the first Mishnah in Zvachim didn't include Hashem, if Rav in fact is correct? So the Gemara has answers for this as well. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, there are other types of Hashemos. There's an Hashem Gzela. There's an Hashem Me'ila. Right, by the way, we covered four of the five Hashemos, meaning there's a total of five Hashemos. But still, in other words, the point is still essentially the same. So that this is an Hashem, they're Hashem Gzela, Hashem Me'ila, where the purpose of these Hashemos are not for the purposes of Hechsher, they're for the purposes of Kapara, and so therefore Lo Psikolei. Meaning, Rav's position is limited only to the Hashem Metzora and Hashem Nazir, since their purpose is to create Hechsher, and since their purpose is to create Hechsher, Shinui is going to be Posel. But when it comes to an Hashem which is there for the purposes of Kapara, so Shinui is not going to be a Posel. And the obvious question, Ma'ishna Hashem Nazir v'Hashem Metzora de'bala Hechsher v'lo Hechsher v'haninami v'lo Kapar v'lo Kippur. And so the Gemara says, well, I don't get it now. Meaning, okay, so but what's the difference? Meaning, if the whole point of Rav is that when you have karbanos that are purpose-based, that are mission-based, right, a karban that's there to provide hechsher. So Rav says, well, if you didn't have the right kavana, so therefore it didn't provide the hechsher, therefore it's pasul. Same thing is true with regarding an ashram that's providing kapara, meaning why am I bringing the carbon? The purpose of the bringing the carbon is for kapara. So if the purpose is for kapara, so then if there's a shinui and it didn't provide the kapara, so therefore it should be pasul. Basically, what's the difference between an ashram lahakshir versus an ashram lachaper? Again, pretty solid question. I'm Rav Yirmiyah, Matzina Shechila Kakasov, Bein Mechaper, Mubein Machshirim. So the Rav Yirmiyah suggests an answer, and he says, well, I know there's a difference between a carbon which is there for purposes of hechsher and versus a carbon that's there for the purpose of kapara. How do I know there's a difference? Mechaprim isbuhu da'asi la'achamisa, mechshirin la'isbuhu da'asi la'achamisa. A carbon that's there for kapara can be brought la'achamisa. I know that sounds strange. I'll say it again. A carbon that's providing kapara can be brought after the person dies. Even though you would have thought, as did I, that death itself provides the kapara, and since death provides the kapara, what do I need? An additional kapara of the karban? I know, I thought that.
But what about the concept that the karban chatat, if the owner dies, then there's is a good kapara?
Right, correct,
offer,
correct.
Right?
Okay, good. So I thought that. So you're thinking that as well. But here's what we're going to see together. We're going to see together that if a carbon's there to provide kapara, there are occasions, it's not a lot, there are occasions where it's going to be brought even posthumously. However, a carbon that's there for heksher is not going to be brought posthumously, will never be brought posthumously. And how do I know that? Did not. So here we have a Mishnah. Isha she'evi achatasa umesa. So a woman gave birth. After a woman gives birth, she brings two karbanos. Let's assume that she's going to bring a pair of birds. So one is there to be brought as a chatzos, and the other one is going to be brought as an ola. Now, here is where I know it's going to get a little bit confusing. It's going to confuse all of us. Okay? Well, here's the part that's not confusing. Okay, let's start off like this. We know that a woman, after she gives birth, there's a timetable, and the karbanos come after the timetable if it's for a boy. It's 40 days, it's for a girl, it's 80 days, but whatever the case is. Without getting bogged down in the details, at the conclusion of her tahara process, she's going to bring karbanos, a chatas and an ola. Let's keep it nice and simple. Okay? And the reason why she's bringing a chatas and an ola is because she sinned? No. She had a baby. She did not sin. In fact, she did. It was a good thing. So the chatas that she's bringing is not a classic chatas because she was a chote.
So why is it called chatat?
The question's wonderful. The one question's wonderful. the question is wonderful. And yes, there is a Gemara elsewhere that discusses that there's a machshava that she had that perhaps was inappropriate. But I'm going to keep everything nice and simple for all of us. Mm-hmm. She's not a chote. She gave birth. Mazel tov. So the she brings the carbon chatas and she brings the carbon ola, and now what the Mishnah over here is going to be describing is, well, Rachmanis, let's say that after she gave birth she brought one of her carbonis and she died, a real Rachmanis, and now the Mishnah is dealing with what do we do with the remaining carbon. And here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Aisha she'evi chatasa mesa yavir yosha olasa. If, let's say, she already brought her chatas and she died, so the Yorshin, so her heirs, next of kin, so they're going to bring her Ola. However, Ola sa umesa, let's say she brought her carbon Ola and then she dies, lo yaviu Yorshin chatasa. The Yorshin don't bring the carbon chatas. Okay, now, that's the Mishnah. Now, here's the part now that is certainly going to sound confusing, but we're going to say it really clearly. Because clearly this is a pshat in the Gemara. In fact, I'm not going to say it. I'll let Rashi say it. Rashi is five lines down from the top. Lo yavir yosha chatasa dezu achas mechamesh chatos amesos chatos shemesu bala vechatos yoladas machshihu. So Rashi says we know we have the halach of chatos amesa. Chatos shemesu bala. Five chatos that are discarded, that are disposed of, that are not going to be offered. Okay, we're not going to go through them right now. All five of them, but one of them is. A chatas shemesu ba'ala, where if the owner of the carbon chatas dies, so the chatas is not offered posthumously, but rather what happens with the carbon chatas is it's discarded, it's disposed of. And we'll talk later about how to dispose of it. But anyway, and Here's the part of Rashi which you have to highlight, you have to underline. Chatas yoledes machshehu. The chatas that's offered by a yoledes is a carbon which is a machshir, meaning it's not there to provide kapara, it's there to give her hechshir, meaning to make her totally tahora so that she can gain entrance into the Beis HaMikdash and eat karbanos again. How do I know that? So Rashi says, Kedamina b'krisus b'perek dam shkita. The Gemara in Krisus says it. So it's there, the whole purpose of her bringing a chatas is there to serve as a machshir. Even though in name, and this is not answering your question, but this is just simply the facts on the ground, in name it's called a carbon chatas. In halacha we're treating it like a carbon chatas, but in function, it's a machshir. And now, here comes the next part of Rashi. Now, if her chatas is there to provide hechsher, so what's the ola there for? So the ola is there to provide whatever kapar is necessary. Now again, she gave birth. What kind of kapar is necessary? Right now I don't have the best answer, and I don't need to give the best answer. All I need to do is just present the facts on the ground. The ola is there to provide a kapara. Let's just accept it. Okay? I know it's easy to push back on these points, but like right now just accept. So Alma Mechaprim Karve Machshirin. I'm sorry, Alma Mechaprim Karve Machshirin Lo Karve. So if we now have properly labeled that her chatas is a machshir and her ola is a mechapir, so if we properly label them, so now look what just happened. Meaning, in the event that, let's say she already offered her chatas and then she died, so bring the ola. In the event that she brought her ola and then she dies, don't bring the chatas. So what have we just learned together? What we just learned together is that a mechaper is going to be coming posthumously, in other words, after death, and meanwhile, the machshir is not coming posthumously. That's what we just learned together. So the hachinam mechaper b'shol l'shmam k'sherim l'hakir v'lo alu machshirim p'sul l'gamre. Okay. And so now that we have this as our template, so now Rashi says, so this is basically now the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is, right, how could it be that when it comes to an asham which is there for the purposes of Hechsher, how could it be that the asham that's there for the purposes of Hechsher, so how can it be that a Shalol Lishma is going to apostle it? But the Ashram, which is coming there as a kapara, so the Shalosh Shema is not going to apostle it? And the answer is that we already see distinctions between a carbon lahakshir versus a carbon lahapara. Good. So again, let's first finish this thread and then we'll entertain. So the Gemara says that's where we land in terms of defending this position. Maskal of Rav Yehuda Bereid Rabbi Shimon Ben Pasi Machshir Nami Mileis Behu Dasal Achamisa. What do you mean a Machshir is not brought posthumously? Vatanan. The Gemara says, why don't we consider the following Mishnah? Mishnah Nazir Amarfish Malson Nazira. So let's say a person set aside money for his carbon Naziros. Now at the conclusion of Naziros, so the Nazir is going to bring three carbonos. One is a chatas, another is an ola, and a third is going to be a shlamin. Chatas, ola, shlamin, three karbanos of a nazir at the termination of his naziros. So let's say he didn't buy any of the karbanos yet, but he set aside money earmarked for his karbanos. Lo nenem v'lo molem mimnei shiruin lavo kulan shlamin. So is there going to be an isra me'ila on the money? You can make an argument, yes, but the argument that the Mishnah is making is no. No. There's not going to be an isra of me'ila on the money. Why not? Because all this money now, being that it has not yet been used for any of the three karbanos, at least in theory, remember, money is always fungible. At least in theory, all the money could be used to buy a karban shlamim. Now, we know the halacha regarding a karban shlamim. There is no iser of me'ila on a karban shlamim. The only me'ila connected to a shlamim is only after I shecht it and after the zrikas hadam, and then there's only me'ila on the imurim of the shlamim, but that's it. Meaning, but the carbon shlamim, as set aside as a carbon shlamim, there's no isra of me'ila. Since the money could be all used for a carbon shlamim, so therefore the money right now is not subject to me'ila. Now, you're not allowed to get hana from the money, because it is set aside for karbanos, but there's no isra of me'ila. Wait, again, let me just finish. Let me just.
Huh? Question about
Me'ila. Yeah, Me'ila, yeah.
I want to know, why is Me'ila like a litmus test? Why is Me'ila used as a litmus test to make like distinctions? Like, what is the role of Me'ila?
There is not a role of Me'ila, there is an Isser of Me'ila. But in terms of a.
Using as a litmus test.
The question is not coming from Me'ila. The Me'ila just happens to be one of the points being made in the Mishnah.
But what's the point of saying that? Like, what is
it? The Mishnah just wants to clarify that there is no Isser of Me'ila on the money. It's not to our discussion and our Gemara.
By not saying Isser of Me'ila on the money, it means that
the
what?
Status is the same.
To our question right now, it's tangential to the Gemara's point right now. It just happens to be that it's in the Mishnah. So fine, the Mishnah is just telling us that there's no Isser of Me'ila on the money. It's the next point of the Mishnah that is germane to our discussion. Mace.
There's a status change. It's saying there's no status change in Me'ila. The money's not changed in status.
Yeah, but that's I understand. Yeah, right. But that's not the point over here. The point is that since the money could be used for a karma shlamim, and since there's no Me'ila on a karma shlamim, so therefore the money is not subject to Me'ila. But again, it's not relevant to the Gemara's point over here. Here comes the point that's relevant. Meis v'ayu lo maus sesumim. So let's say the person died, and the money was unspecified. So in other words, it was just money earmarked for his karbanos. And before he was able to use any of the money for any one of the three karbanos, so what happens to the money? Yiplu nadava. So what the money now is going to be done is that the money is going to go into the pushkas, where the money then subsequently will be used for olos, as we described already, I think just as recently as yesterday. However, Mifu Rashin, if let's say before the Nazir died, so what he did with the money is he specified this money is going to be for the Shlamim, this money is going to be for the Ola, and this money is going to be for the Chata. So now, what do I do with monies that were specified? So we know what to do with the monies. The Mishnah here is going to spell it out. Demei Chatzis Yolech Liyam HaMelech, Lo Nenim V'lo Ma'olen. So as far as the Demei Chatzis is concerned, so you dispose of it. Meaning, since that money was earmarked for a Chatas, and since he died, and if we had the Chatas here, we would have had to have disposed of the chata. So what we're going to do is, what the money is, we're going to dispose of the money. What about the Isra Me'ila? It's not going to be subject to the Isra Me'ila. Why not? Rashi tells us it's going to be one of the first things we're going to learn together. In Masechta Me'ila, there is no Isra Me'ila on a chata samesa. A chata that's destined to die, that's going to be discarded, disposed of, there's no Isra Me'ila on the chatas. Deme Ola, Yavi Behem Ola, Umo'alam Behen. So as far as the money that was earmarked for a carbonola, so what you're going to do is you're just going to simply roll it over into another carbonola. And obviously it's going to be subject to Me'ila. And to make shlamim, yavi behem, shlamim v'nechalim liheom echad. And the shlamim money, the money that was specified for a carbon shlamim, so you will buy with it a carbon shlamim, but a shlamim that is a nazir shlamim, special shlamim, only eaten for one day, not your normal two-day shlamim. However, there is no requirement of lechem. Lechem is a requirement by a nazir regarding the shlamim, but that's only when the nazir is alive. In this unusual scenario, because the nazir is dead, so therefore the money that was earmarked for a karban shlamim is going to be offered as a karban shlamim, a nazir karban shlamim, sans the bread. Now, v'ha'ola u'shlamim de'nazir de'machshirininu. So the Gemara says, now let's take stock over here. The nazir died. The money is still going to be applied towards the karbanos that he set aside for, even though he is now dead. Now, the olam, now the chatas is going to, the money for the chatas is disposed of because it's a chatas amesa. Okay. But as far as the olam and the shlamim are concerned, so we're going to take the money and we're going to use it to buy the karbanos that they were designated for. And these karbanos now are categorically, what kind of karbanos? They're a machshir. In other words, they are there to move him from the status of being a nazir to a non-nazir. And so therefore, v'ka'asil achemisa, and they're coming posthumously. Okay. So in other words, our entire defense over here was, well, if it's a carbon, which is a machshir, so you're never going to bring that posthumously. As opposed to a carbon, which is mechapir, under limited circumstances, you are going to bring it posthumously. We just learned together that a carbon which is a machshir, meaning the notably the carbonos of the nazir, are in fact brought even after the nazir is dead. And so what just happened is our entire argument just fell away.
These all three by themselves also a machshir.
Right. Okay.
Because
fine.
If you bring one of those carbonos, you can already.
Amar Papa Hachi Kamar of Yirmiyah Lamatzino Hechsher Kavua Debala Achamisa. So the Gemara says, Udanazir Hechsher Shena Kavohi. So the Gemara says, well, okay, so we'll try to keep the defense. And we'll say, look, if a Hechsher is coming, meaning a carbon in of itself serving as a Hechsher, meaning that this is the only carbon that there's to provide the Hechsher, so that's never going to come posthumously. However, over here, when it comes to the Nazir, so it's a complement of Karbanos, and the truth of the matter is that if I really distill it, Bidi Evid, I don't have to bring all three. The Sheinu Kavuhu, the Amars, we turn now to the top of Hamad Aleph, the Amar Mar, Gilach Al Echal Mishlashtam, Yatsa. Truth be told, is that even though the Torah mandates that the Nazir has to bring three at the conclusion, if he shaves his head, meaning that's the conclusion of his Nazirus process, if he shaves his head and offers only one of the three Karbanos, Yotze. Bidi Evan, it works. So in other words, this is not a classic Karban Lahakshir, as all three of them are not necessary. They are all really complementing one another. When we say that a machshir is never brought posthumously, that is only meant to be said as one individual carbon which is there to serve as a machshir. Okay, so where do we stand right now? We are still in the defense of Rav. Rav says that when it comes to the asham of a mitzorah and the asham of a nazir, so if the kohen has a shalol lishma, so it's going to be puzzle. Why didn't it make it into that first Mishnah in Zvachim? So the Gemara is arguing, well, lo psikale, because it doesn't, in other words, the Mishnah couldn't say the word Asham because it's not true by all Ashamas. There's a distinction between an Asham Nazir and Asham Mitzorah, which is Lahakshir, versus an Asham Gzela and Asham Ila, which is there to be Mechaper. And the argument the Gemara is making is that they're different from one another. Even though, and I know this is running counterintuitive to a lot of what we saw in Zvachim, a carbon lahachshir is more delicate and more sensitive to a machshava psul than that of a carbon which is there to be mechaber. I know, right? That's basically what we're learning together in the course of this sugya. But that's what the Gemara is saying. Meisvei, a challenge. We're now on the very top of Hamad Aleph. Asher mitzor shenishcha shelo lishma shelo nita midamo agabi bahonos hareze ola lagabi mizbech v'tau nesachim. So the Gemara says, consider the following. I have an Asham Mitzora, right? That Shechted Shelo Lishmo, or you didn't apply the blood of it onto the thumb and big toe and right earlobe of the Mitzora. So, Harei Zeh Ola Legabe Mizbech. So, even though there was Shelo Lishmo, it's still going to go on the Mizbech. It's still going to require nesachim, meaning the carbon is still good, but disconnection. Lo alu labalim. It simply is not applied to the owner. And what is this brisa clearly stating? Rav is not correct. Meaning Rav says that when it comes to the asham of a mitzorah, like the asham of a nazir, a shelo lishmo is going to be a posel. And the brisa over here says, no, it's not. The brisa over here says, it will create this connection between the carbon and its owner, but it's not in fact a posel. And to Yufta Durav, and the Gemara says, and this obviously is a refutation of the position of Rav.
What if Rav was calling him like Eliezer in terms of the similarities?
When you say Rabbi Eliezer?
Yeah, in terms of the Asham being like
a Chetah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, you're right. In other words, that first mission is Vachem. He doesn't. The Gemara is assuming that that's not an accepted position. You could say, second Tosfos in the Amud says, you could say that Rav is sometimes has the authority to argue with the Braisa, but the Gemara says, but not here. In other words, that's not Rav's position.
The argument for the Yoledet was totally twisted. I mean, on one hand, we say that she didn't have any awan, so there would be no need for Chatat, but then we say the Ola is she's bringing for Kapara what?
I hear you.
So either this or that, I mean, cannot be both ways.
Right.
So she has an Avon or she doesn't have one.
All right, right. Okay, I appreciate your question. I understand your question.
And the Chatat, also, it's a machine in a way that we have a Chatat of, I think the fact that she brings a Chatat may not be related to her, maybe related to the sin of Chava.
All right, I don't want to belabor, pun intended, yeah. I don't want to belabor the point over here and regarding the Yoledes in terms of trying to understand better her Karbanos. Let's say it simply like this. Primarily, when the Torah requires, demands that a Yoledes brings a Karban, it's not for any sin that she did. In other words, from a primacy standpoint, it's not for any chait that she did. She didn't do a chait. She had a baby. In other words, but there can be some elements of chet, but in other words, but that's not the primary. So in other words, when I'm looking at the carbon that's brought by Yoledes, her primary carbon is a chatas. And what we're and what Rashi said, and basically, I mean, this is, I think, the right way to look at it, okay, I think, is that what the, if the main carbon that she's bringing is a chatas, and she's not a chote, so we're going to have to redefine what the chatas is there to do. And the and what it is primarily there to do is hechsher, meaning it is, and we know this to be so, meaning before her karbanos, she can't go into the base of Mikdash. After her karbanos, she can go into the base of Mikdash. Before the karbanos, she can't eat carbon. After the karbanos, she can bring carbon. So if the chatas that she's bringing is her primary carbon, so we have to look at it functionally as a machsher, not as a mechaper. That's the basic idea. Okay, there may be some elements of chet involved as well. You know, the Gemara talks about how she had a thought at the time when she was having the baby that she's not going to be with her husband anymore. And so there's some element of chet, but that's not the primary purpose of her bringing karbanos. Primary purpose, heksher. And then the ola that comes along together with it, okay, it can, you know, it can clean up, so to say, for any, you know, for any, you know, secondary, you know, pot, you know remote chance that there was any machshava sachet. Okay.
Then there was one idea that the chet was for chet of a chava.
Yeah, okay, could be.
But again, she's still a kaparata, so she can be right. It's not quite machshir, it's just to clear the
right. But it doesn't speak to the primary purpose of the carbon. It's for sure there to provide hechsher. Okay, so that now brings us now to the end of Rav's opinion. There are going to be in the course of today's daf three opinions altogether. Opinion number one is that if the carbon omer is brought shalo lishmo, so Rav says, pasul, disqualified. The obvious question, how come it's not in our Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph? And the answer is three answers. In other words, it thematically doesn't belong in the Mishnah, but halachically it's there, even though thematically it's not there. Opinion number two is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish argues with Rav. Rav Shimon Malakish Omer, we are now on Hamad Aleph, we're five lines down. Second opinion for today. Minchas Omer Shikamsa Shalol Lishma. The Kmitza of the Minchas Omer is done Shalol Lishma. Kshera. So he disagrees with Rav. He says that the carbon is still a kasher carbon. Vishayareha ein echalan ad shetavi minchas haomer acheres. Vitati rena. Now here's where it gets interesting. Remember, the whole purpose of bringing the carbon omer is that it serves as a matir. Before the omer is brought on the 16th day of Nisan, all the grains are forbidden. After I bring the omer, or when I say I mean the Kohen, in the base of Mikdash, after he brings the omer, all the grains now are mutter. So here, it's really interesting. Reish Lakish's position is like just it's a bit of a mind bend. So here, the omer is brought. The Kohen had a shelo lishma machshava bringing it. So the omer is still good, says Reish Lakish, but don't eat the shayarim. In other words, we say to the Kohanim, wait before you eat the shayarim of this particular carbon. And what are we going to wait for? Because we're going to bring another omer. And the next omer that we're going to bring is going to be good, hopefully. Mm-hmm. We'll get another Kohen. So the next omer that we're going to bring later today is going to be good. And then after that next omer is brought, so then we're going to go back to the first omer, and then we're going to be able to eat the shayarim of the first omer. Okay? Sounds okay? The Gemara obviously is going to try to wrap its head around this idea. So the Gemara says, Mikrav hechi karva. Mimashke Yisrael, minamutal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, wait one second. We have a general rule. Okay, what is qualified to be brought up onto the Mizbech? So we have a pasuk in Yecheskel, Mimashke Yisrael. Now, Mashke Yisrael literally means the liquids of the Jewish people. But in this case, in the context over here, it means that which I offer on the Mizbech is something that it's something where you and I could have eaten. In other words, to put it really simple, I can only put kosher food on the Mizbech. I can't put not kosher food on the Mizbech. So the Gemara says, so let's all really consider now. So you're telling me that, well, the omer that's bar shalol lishma, according to Reish Lakish, that I put onto the Mizbeach, so the carbon's still good, but it didn't work, meaning it didn't create the matir that it was intended to do so. And so therefore, what do we do with the shayarim of this carbon? You put it on hold. Wait till the next time we bring the omer later today, and then once the omer is brought correctly, and once the matir now has been affected, so now I can go back to the first omer and the Kohanim can eat from the shayarim of the first omer. To which the Gemara is basically saying, but wait one second. In other words, the first omer didn't affect its matir status. it didn't create heter. So in other words, it's chadash. Chadash is aser. Chadash aser min haTorah. So we're now looking at basically putting something aser on the mizbeach. You can't do that. Amar of Adabar Ava. Now, before we even go further in the Gemara, by the way, it's just, again, conceptually, it's just wonderful to think about. In other words, when you're bringing the Omer, in other words, let's not talk about Shalol Lishma, let's talk about an Omer that's brought successfully the first time. When you're bringing the Omer, so isn't it, it's an irony built into the Omer, meaning before I bring it, it's Chadash. After I bring it, now it's Mutter. So in other words, at the moment that I'm bringing it, isn't it usher? In other words, only to become mutter after it's brought. Okay, it's a lot to think about.
You're not eating it.
Well, it's true, you're not eating it, but again, we're saying that in order for something to go onto the Mizbeach, it has to be kosher. In other words, I can only put something that I can eat to go onto the Mizbeach. And so what you'll have to say is something along the lines of concurrence. Right. Well, simultaneously, right. Some idea like that. Okay. But over here, however, obviously, we're not going to say that because over here, the first omer that was brought was shalol lishma, which means that it didn't affect heter, and so therefore, we're basically going to put it on hold until the next omer is brought. And the gemara now is obviously bothered. It's not mimashke yisrael. It's not mina mutter li yisrael. Well, that means that the first omer is not mutter. So Amr Avadabahava Kasav Rishlakashem Khusus Manla Babayam. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? Yeah, you're right, it's not mutter, but it's only not mutter for a brief period of time. In fact, it's going to be mutter later that day. It's kind of like, it's kind of like Davish Shlomatiran, although it's not Davish Shlomatiran has to do with Bittel, it's not, in other words, if we just wait a little bit, it's going to be mutter. Something that's going to be mutter a little bit later, meaning in the same day, so that is considered vis-a-vis this halacha of Mimashke Yisrael, that's considered kosher, and therefore qualified. Meizav Rav Adar Barav Yitzhak. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's consider the following. I'm going to be learning a number of braises in the course of today's daf. Here we go. Braise number one. Yesh ba'ofos shein ba'menachos, yesh ba'menachos shein ba'ofos. So the braise over here does its classic comparison. So we're comparing now the carbon mincha, the carbon that's coming from a bird. So a number of differences between birds and minchas. Okay, so let's focus on birds. Birds can be shared by two people. Two people can partner together to bring a bird. That's not true regarding a mincha. Mincha can only be brought by a sole proprietor. There's no such thing as partnership as it relates to menachos. Mechusrei kapara. Also birds. Birds are there to provide heksher, meaning like the idea that we expressed earlier this morning, the idea that you can go from a position of not being able to go into the Beis HaMikdash to being able to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Azava, Yoles Mitzorah happens to be there in the parentheses. So, but anyway, but in other words, birds provide heksher. Menachos never do. V'hutru michlal isuran bekodesh. Additionally, how do you prepare a bird? The method of preparing a bird is malika. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, you can't do malika. In fact, that would create iser. So the method of creating iser outside the Beis HaMikdash is the way you prepare it in the Beis HaMikdash. Masha'enke memnachos, and now all this is, of course, not true by mincha. Everything we just said regarding birds is not true by mincha. In other words, a mincha, you can't partner to offer a mincha. Number two, it's not the mincha is not there for the mechusrei kapara. The zav zava nida yoledes. I'm sorry. Zav zava yoledes mitzora. Number three, hucha mechlali surin bekodesh. Right. In other words, this idea that the method that would create iser outside is a method which I do inside, that doesn't exist by mincha. Fine. V'yesh b'mnachos amnachos teunos. Now, menachos are different than birds in the following four ways. Number one, teunos keli. It requires a kli. A mincha does not work without a kli. Birds, do birds require a keli? No. In other words, with birds, you shack the birds, but with the thumb of the coin. In other words, malika. You don't require. There's no clear requirement. How about putting the blood in a bowl? No, there's no bowl. In other words, either it's a chatas or nola, the blood's going directly onto the mizbeach. With a chatas, sprinkling in mitzui. With the ola, just mitzui. There's no keli as it relates to a bird. By a mincha, there's a keli. Two, tenufa. There's a waving. By menachos, we'll talk more later in the Masechta in terms of the procedure of waving. But there's a waving requirement. When it comes to birds, no waving. 3, Hagasha. Regarding the mincha, so there's this procedure known as Hagasha. We read in the Pesukim on day 1 of the Masechta, where you take the bowl of the mincha and you bring it to the southwest corner of the Mizbech. No such halacha as it relates to birds. 4, Yeshna Bitzibur Kibiyachid. You have, when it comes to menachos, you have a mincha that is for the tzibur, like the omer, like the shtei alechem, like the lechem apanim. Okay? You have no such tzibur carbon as it relates to birds. Interesting, right? Birds don't have there's no carbon tzibur as it relates to birds. Okay. Mashein kein ba'ofos. Fine. So in other words, that's the price that we just learned together. And why
are we doing this?
Okay, so the point now is, v'imis b'mnachos nami mishkachala dehushu mechlal isurim b'kodesh u'mayniu minchas ha'omer. So the Gemara says, so now, let's say Reish Lakish is right. Let's say Reish Lakish, again, what's the thesis of Reish Lakish? The thesis of Reish Lakish is the hushu mechlal isurim b'kodesh. In other words, this idea that, a method in which creates Isser in the Beis HaMikdash is going to create Heter. Meaning that we have a scenario in which I could be offering a Minchas Omer. It's a really limited scenario, but I could be offering a Minchas Omer which normally would be Asr, and yet in the Beis HaMikdash would be Mutter. How is it normally Asr? If the Minchas Omer was Bar Shalol Lishma, and now it's going to be Asr, it's going to be okay, because later today we're going to bring a kosher Minchas Omer. The Gemara says, again, Kevin, the Ein Mechusus Man Lebaba Yom, Lavi Surahu. But the Gemara says, okay, but let's remember what we learned just a moment ago. That's not called Isser. If the first carbon omer is brought Shalal Lishma, let's not call that Isser. Let's call that temporarily unavailable. But vis-a-vis the Mizbeach, it's considered kosher. Because later today, we're going to bring a carbon omer, a kosher carbon omer, and it will matir the first omer that we brought today. And just because it was temporarily unavailable, does not mean vis-a-vis this particular halacha, it's not kosher. The Gemara says it is kosher.
How did you relate to the discussion of the Braisa?
Because the Braisa was saying, here's what's true with an oaf, which is not true regarding a mincha. By an oaf, what normally is aser becomes mutter. And so what the Gemara is saying is, according to Reish Lakish, that by mincha, what's normally aser now is mutter. Meaning the omer brought shelo lishma, which is normally aser, is mutter by when it comes to the mincha somer. And that is true by a bird. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, the Braisa contrasted. The Braisa says it's not a fair comparison. And the Gemara's response is that's not considered not kosher. It's kosher. Just we have to wait just a little bit. Mesa Rav Sheshit, the Gemara challenges based on the following. We're talking now about the Tahara process of the Mitzorah. The Torah is very specific in terms of the Mitzorah's Tahara process. Right now, without going through the entire litany of halachos and details, we're just looking at now application of blood and application of oil that's done to the Mitzorah. So, the oil was placed prematurely onto the Mitzorah before the blood was placed. And that is out of sequence. So what do you do? So Yemalana Shemen, V'yachzav Yitzen Shemen Acher Matandam. Refill the oil, because you need a full log of oil. Refill the oil, wait till the blood is applied to the Mitzorah, and then reapply the oil. Matan Bahon, I'm sorry, Shemen.
What's your intention when you reapply?
That I'm doing it now in the proper sequence that the Torah instructed me to do so. So Yemalana Shemen, V'yachzav Yitzen Shemen Acher Matandam. Matan Bahamos Lamatan Sheva. Yemalana Shemen V'yachzav Yitain Matan Bahonos Acher Matan Shiva. And again, the same idea that if the oil was applied before the sprinkling, so reload the oil and then apply it in the correct sequence. And once again, Yamar Emachus Man Lababa Yama Ma Yachzav Yitain Ma Da'avid Avad. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. If this thesis of Reish Lakish is right, that something that is done a little bit prematurely, but within the same day, is not a big deal. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what's the big deal? So in other words, okay, so the oil and the blood applications were done out of sequence for the Mitzorah. Okay, but in other words, but it's the Bo Bayom, it's in the same day. Shouldn't it be okay? Right. So Amar Papa Shani Hochas Mitzorah, Dixi Bebe Havaya. Damar Kasuf Zos Tiyeh Toros Mitzorah, Tiyeh Behev Yasotehei. So the Gemara tries to suggest, well, maybe when it comes to the Mitzorah, look, even though Bo Bayom, if it's something within the same day, it's not a big deal. But in terms of the Metzorah, the Torah is demanding that the sequence be done in its proper order. And when the Torah uses the word, the verb, tihiyah, this will be, meaning that what the Torah is demanding, that sequence regarding the Metzorah is essential. There's no negotiation when it comes to sequence of the Metzorah, of Taharas HaMetzorah. Masav Rapapa, Rapapa says, are you in fact correct? Why don't you take the following under consideration? Here's another brisa. Hikdim chatos ala ashamo. So let's say the chatos of the Metzorah was offered before the asham. And clear over here that that's not the correct sequence. In other words, sequentially, asham has to come before the chatos. Chatos was brought before the asham. Lo yeh acham acher memarz bedama. So over here, so here's what I'll suggest. Okay, so you know what? You're right. We just realized that we shechted the chatos before we shechted the asham, and by mitzvah that's out of sequence. So you know what? Let's hold the blood of the chatos on reserve. We'll have somebody stirring it so that it doesn't congeal. We'll shech the carbon asham of the mitzvah. We'll offer all the blood of the carbon asham of the mitzvah, and then we'll go back to the chatos. Right, fair suggestion. The Braisa says, don't do that. But elatu barzurasa v'teitzel lebeisa sreifa. We're going to dispose the chatas because it was shechted out of order. And amai kamosiv rapapa v'arapapa hudam rishani hilchus mitzor diksiv buhavaya. So the Gemara says, now, what a strange question, right? Meaning, the Gemara says, right, how do you understand this? What do you mean, how do you understand this? We just gave the explanation. This is talking about the Taharas HaMetzorah. Sequence by the Taharas HaMetzorah is essential. Why did the Gemara think that this was even a question? You went out of order when it comes to the Metzorah? No good. Unfixable. We just got to go back to the drawing board, and we have to do the Asham, and we got to get a new carbon chatas. So the Gemara is basically bothered. Why are you even asking this question? So Ela Rapapa Hachi Kakashile. Ema hanimile avoda. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why Rav Papa was bothered. Because when we're talking about avoda of the Metzorah, so I understand things like hazaah, application of blood, application of oil. Those are avodas. But over here we're talking about shechita. Shechita? Shechita obviously is important. And you can't go further with a carbon before you do shechita. I mean, shechita is step number one. But shechita lav avodahi. But as we learned already a number of times back in Zvachim, and now this is the first time we're saying it in Menachos, pretty early on, daf hey. Shechita is not an avoda. So and since shechita is not an avoda, so I understand that the idea of sequence when it comes to the Metzorah is essential. I get it. Havaya. But we're talking about shechita over here. Shechita is not an avoda. So let's put the chatas on reserve. Just put on hold. Have some coin, stir the blood of the carbon chatas. Let's then shech the carbon asham, do the application of the asham, and let's go back to the carbon chatas. If all we're talking about is shechita over here. So, Ela, Merapapa, Hainu Tamid, Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, fine. So in other words, this idea of Levo Bayom, in other words, it doesn't hold water. Now, the idea of that, well, just because it's going to be permitted a little bit later today, it must mean that it's okay. We just learned together that's not true. It's not true. So in other words, so we have to go back to the drawing board and we have to give a new explanation within Reish Lakish. And we're about to do that right now in the Gemara, as we are on the bottom of Hamad Aleph. But before we do that, let's just review. In other words, Tosfos is over here, and it's a good time to review. Why is Shechita not considered an avoda? Meaning the Gemara over here says it as a statement of fact. Shechita is not an avoda, so why not? So Tosfos is over here, it's the same Tosfos back in Zvachim. But Tosfos over here goes to the same 3 points. So Tosfos over here offers 3 different explanations in terms of why shechita is not an avoda. One, Tosfos says, quoting Rashi, because a zar can shecht a carbon. So it's evident now from the fact that a non-kohen can shecht a carbon, it's not an avoda. If it's an avoda, it has to be limited by kohanim. And as we pointed out every time we go over this Rashi, it's circular reasoning. Meaning, why shechita not an avoda? Because a non-kohen can shecht it. Why can a non-kohen shecht it? Because it's not an avoda. We just keep going into this loop of each halacha is explaining the other halacha, but you don't know where the starting point is. Okay, anyway, but it's a loop. A second suggestion of Tosfos that offered by Rabbi Yitzchak Meorleans, so not the new one, the old one. So he says, you know why shechita is not an avoda? Lefi sheshava bechulin vekachin. because shechita is not limited to karbanos. We shecht non-karbanos. So since it's an activity that's done to carbon and non-carbon alike, so therefore it's not an avoda. A third suggestion made by Tosfos is that, you know why shechita is not an avoda? Because we know that when you shecht, even though an animal that is shechted has to be in the azara, the kohen doing the shechting, where can he stand? Doesn't have to be in the azara. Oddly enough, he could be standing outside the azara with knife in hand, insert the knife into the azara, have the animal obviously standing in the azara, and animal has to be in the azara for shechita, and he could shecht the animal while it's in the azara, even though he's standing outside. In other words, you gotta be in the azara when doing avoda? And so Tosfos says exactly. Meaning shechita is not. Meaning the starting point is that we know it's acceptable for a kohen to do a shechita in this manner, where he's standing outside the azara. Ergo, shechita is not an avoda. Okay, so three suggestions in Tosfos in terms of why shechita is not an avoda. Okay, but anyway, now we're back to the Gemara and Hey Amud Aleph, we're in the bottom of the Amud, and we're back to the drawing board. So let's pick up the problem from the beginning. Reish Lakish says that if a minchas omer was offered shelo lishma, the mincha is still good, but it's not a matir. And what's going to happen is that we'll put the shirayim on hold, we'll offer another omer, and when we offer the second omer correctly, so then we can go back and eat the shirayim again. And our question on the table was, wait one second. So the first omer you're telling me it's not a matir. So if it's not a matir, so then it's aster for the mizbech. It's aster for you and me. It should be aster for the mizbech. And what is going on over here? It's not mimashke Yisrael. It's not mutter. So how could it be good? So what we suggested up until now is, well, it's lebo bayom. Well, it'll be okay a little bit later today, and that's okay, right? And the Gemara seems to dismiss that argument. And so now that we dismiss that argument, we are now back to the drawing board. And now we're back to the drawing board. The Gemara says, Ela Amar, up three lines from the bottom. Hainu time at the Reish Lakish, the Kasavra here, Mizrach Matir. And so now we're going to invoke a totally new idea. And that is, yes, there's a mitzvah to bring the Omer on the 16th day of Nisan. That's true. But according to Reish Lakish, do you know what really is the Matir? The sun rising on the morning of the 16th day of Nisan. Heir Mizrach Matir. The real heter of eating chadash, of chadash moving from a status of being chadash to now yashan, is the sun rising. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Dami Tavai Afilu Bezman Shebeis Hamikdash Kaim, even when there was a Beis Hamikdash. Heir Mizrach Matir. That when the sun rises in the morning, it creates a heter. And as Rashi points out now, on the top of Hamad Beis, Yudva Benisan Matir HaChadash, really, it's the calendar that creates the heter. 16th day of Nisan. Ad etzem. The Torah says, Ad etzem hayom hazeh. Now, what does the word etzem mean? Look at Targum, says Rashi. Ad bichron. Okay, good. Now that we read Targum together. congratulations to us. We read Targum. And Rashi says, what does that mean? U bichron haynu maris hayom. Bichron means when the sun radiates, when the sun first radiates in the morning. Dichsiv, and how do I know that? So Rashi says, well, of course, you know, Targum on Chumash, right? I don't want to self-report. So Tarshish, Shoham, Yashpeh. Three of the stones that are on the Choshen, Mitargaminan, Krum, Yama, Shemarisa, Domaliyam. So the Targum over there on the Tarshish is Krum. Right? Krum meaning basically the color of the ocean. Blue. Meaning when you start seeing the light of the day, the blue light, the blue sky because of the light of the day. So period. Okay, fine. So in other words, so according to Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, what is really the matter of the morning? And Rashi points out, continuing in Rashi, v'hai de'en shirin echalin. Okay, so good. So now, let's now have our new approach on Reish Lakish. Do you know why it is that when you offer the Omer Shelo Lishma, the carbon's still good? Because really it's mutter. Because when did status change from Chadash to Yashan? The morning, just when the sun rose. So then if that's true, why are we waiting before we eat the Shirayim? Rashi responds to that question. And Rashi writes, V'haydein Shirayim Nechalim D'mitzvah L'hamtin Ad Havasa Omer K'deparchina L'Reish Lakish Peperek Rabbi Shma. As I mentioned just yesterday, right, there's an entire perek in Menachos, six perek, which we're going to, God willing, get to in 60 short days from now, 2 months. And in that perek, we're going to be discussing all the halachas of the Omer. And even if you take the position that Heir Mizrach, that really sunrise is the Matir, but still, it is most appropriate to wait till the Omer is brought before you eat. And even though the Torah says Ad Haviachem, what the Torah means is L'mitzvah. Mitzvah over here means it is most appropriate. It's the right thing to do. But in terms of what created status change, morning, sunrise. Now the Gemara now notes that Reish Lakish did not say this explicitly, but we can it's pretty clear that this is Reish Lakish's position, that the real heter of the Omer I should say better the real heter of Chadash, changing a status from Chadash to Yashan, is the morning of, not the Karban. Ein mevi'in minchas bikurim minchas behema korim laOmer. One is not to bring minchas bikurim. Minchas bikurim over here in this context means the Nesachim, right? The mincha bikurim and the minchas behema before the Omer. Skip parentheses. The imhevi pasul. Now, if you bring it, it's pasul because it's not mutter, meaning it's not something you and I can eat. And if it's not something you and I can eat, you can't put it on the mizbeach. Kodesh v'shtei alechem lo yavi v'imhevi kashi. Now, if you bring it before the shtei alechem, that's the carbon Omer. That's the mincha that's offered on Shavuos. So licha tchila, you shouldn't, but b'di'evit, it's fine. For our purposes right now, I'm not going to explain why there's a lecha tchila b'di'evit between Shavuos, between Pesach and Shavuos. For our purposes right now, I'm going to keep it really simple, and that is that after the Omer, after the 16th day of Nisan, before the 16th day of Nisan, you cannot bring any nesachim that come from flour beforehand because it's aser, it's chadash. Afterwards, you could bring it. Now again, there's a difference between Pesach and Shavuos. I'll explain that at a later time. The 16th day of Nisan, imhevi kasher, if you bring nesachim from flour at any point during the day, even before the carbon omer is brought, b'di'evit, it's okay. Why? Alma kasav, Heir Mizrach matir. Because again, for Reish Lakish, what's really the matir? Sunrise.
So the carbon is not matir, right?
The carbon is, in other words, it's a mitzvah. Le mitzvah. According to Reish Lakish, the carbon is a mitzvah. Rava Amar, and let's finish up today. We're going to get to the two dots. And now we're going to go over the third opinion. So, in Minchas Omer, that's Baruch Shalom Lishma, what do we have so far in today's daf? Rav says, it's pasul. Reish Lakish says, the carbon is still good, the mincha is still good, just wait till the next time you bring the Omer. And finally, opinion number three is Rava. Rava Amar, Minchas Omer, Shekam Tzor Shalom Lishma, Kishera. A Minchas Omer, that's Baruch Shalom Lishma, is kosher, Vishayareha Ne'echalen. And what can we do with the shirayim? Kohanim, go ahead, eat it. You don't need to bring another mincha. Now, why? And this is going to be really interesting. Again, it's just a lot to digest in the course of today's daf. And the reason why, according to Rava, is because a machshava is not going to affect an omer at all. Because, and I'm going to say it really simple, perhaps a little too simply, but the mincha omer is really not a karban. I know I'm saying that in a really oversimplified manner, but it's essentially going to be the Gemara's point. It's going to be Rava's point. It's not a karban. Because when does machshava become when will it affect a karban? Only ela b'misha roi lavoda. I'm just going to read all three and then we'll explain all three of them. One, b'misha roi lavoda. Two, davar haroi lavoda. And three, makam haroi lavoda. Let's explain all three. Number one, b'misha roi lavoda afuke kon bamum. Let's say you have a blemished kohen and he's doing the avoda and he has a machshava. That machshava is not going to be regarded. He doesn't count because he doesn't count. Forgive me for saying it so bluntly. In other words, vis-a-vis the avoda, he's not someone who to do the avoda. Therefore, his machshav is totally disregarded. Okay, that's one. Two, and b'davar haray l'avoda l'afukim minchas omer. And it only is when we're talking about something which is qualified and fit to be brought as a karban. In this case, when I say karban, I mean mincha. The minchas omer is not a mincha. Now, I know that sounds strange, but I'm saying it. I'm saying it as simply as possible. The minchas omer is not a mincha. You'll ask me the obvious question. What? It's not a mincha? What does that mean? Rashi writes, Kagon, so Vidavar Lavoda Kagon Minchas Chitin, Ava Minchas Omer Shal Saorim, Eno Uya Ella Lavoda Zubavan Lahatir, Volomishum Karban Asya. I mean, Rashi, I could not say it any clearer than Rashi. Meaning, because when if I'm bringing a mincha, what grain do I bring? Wheat. This is not wheat, this is barley. Barley is never, now I'm going to qualify that in just a second, because Rashi will. Barley is never brought as a mincha. You bring a mincha, you bring wheat. Wheat is the only grain that's brought as a mincha. This is coming from barley. You don't bring barley as a mincha. This is not a karban. Now, yes, the Torah instructs me to do it, meaning take this barley, prepare it, put it on the mizbeach, but it's there to serve as a matir. It's not a karban. Now, hopefully you're wondering, because Rashi is about to address, it's really, there's no other mincha that's offered from barley? Sure there is. Now, what about the sota mincha? So Rashi says, that's not a mincha also. The mincha sota kemach vishel omer geres. So because the sota is coming, because generally speaking, a mincha is coming from fine flour. Again, a halacha that we're going to go over later in the Masechta, and that is that when you're offering a mincha, the flour has to be ground up, ground up again, sifted. It has to be fine flour. The mincha of the sota, it's meal. It's not ground up. V'od delav avodihi delavar avon ka'asya. And additionally, Rashi says the mincha that we're offering for the sota, it's not a carbon. It's not providing kapara. It's there just to clarify what happened with her in that man in that room. Now Rashi says. I know that a machshava will disqualify a sota mincha, but that's a special ribui. But in other words, it just simply doesn't fit in our entire discussion, either because it's not ground up like a standard mincha, or because it's not there to provide any kind of kapara. In other words, leave the sota out of the discussion. So, by the way, there's much more to talk about this. Meaning, Tosus gives another reason why sota is not part of the discussion. But anyway, the point of the Gemara is that since the Minchas Omer is coming from barley, barley is not mincha. Mincha is coming from wheat, so therefore this is not considered your classic mincha. Again, I'm using Rashi's language. It's not a karban. And as a result of that, a machshava will not affect it. And finally, number three, let's explain number three. And also, let's say the mizbeach is chipped, which means that the mizbeach is out of order. If a machshava were to occur while the mizbeach is out of order, that machshava also is not going to be regarded. So the three rules of Rava are that a machshava is only regarded when the kohen is doing the avoda is a bal avoda, not a balmum. Number two, when the material that I'm using is something which is a karban, like an animal, like a bird, like wheat for mincha. Not like the Omer, which is barley. And number three, machshava is only good when the mizbeach is in operation. If the mizbeach is out of order, it has a chip in it, right? A dent in the mizbeach, pagam, so then the machshava will not apply. So, apparently he doesn't agree. So there are now, over the course of today's daf, what we learned now are three opinions regarding the Minchas Omer that was shechted. I say shechted, by the way, I misspoke. A minchas omer that was nikmat shelo lishma. The kmitza was not shelo lishma. And the three opinions are Rav, Reish Lakish, and Rava. To review, Rav is of the opinion that a minchas omer shenikmat shelo lishma is pasul. The Gemara dealt with this position extensively through all of Dalam and Beis. Then on the top of Hey, Reish Lakish says that a minchas omer that was nikmat shelo lishma is kasher, but still the shirayim cannot be eaten until the next Omer is offered later that day. The Gemara then discussed Reish Lakish's position. How is it, if it's not mutter? So how could it be offered on the Mizbeach? It's not Mimashka Yisrael. Rav Papa gives two approaches. The first approach he didn't like. The second approach he liked. That according to Reish Lakish, the real matir is the day, not the Omer. And then the third approach is that of Rava. And Rava says that an Omer that was Nikma Shelo Lishma is totally fine. Why? Because a machshava will not affect it. Why? And I know it sounds funny as I say this, but it's not a karban. It's simply not a karban. meaning it's obviously we do it. It's part of the Torah. It's instructions, and it's offered on the mizbeach. And I know it's so funny to say that it's offered on the mizbeach, and it looked, but it's not a mincha. It's being offered from barley, and a mincha doesn't come from barley. A mincha comes from wheat.
It's called mincha, though.
That's the accepted one.
I know.
It always the accepted one.
I'm sorry, it's funny. I should be prepared for these questions. I'm simply not. I'm not prepared. Okay, I don't know. I'll do the research.